In reality, often we do fight fear. But why do we fight fear? Why do we feel fear? Here's why we feel fear: because we forget. Because we forget. It's when we get knocked down and we become afraid. It's when we encounter the unexpected that causes us to worry. It's in the midst of trial and hurt that we become paralyzed with fright. And what happens when these things happen? So often we forget. Forget what? Forget the truth. But David here, he remembers. He remembers the truth that with his God, he cannot lose. And again, please see this. David didn't always have it good. What he did always have was his God.
Welcome back to Live in the Light. Hey, we're glad you're here today. We're glad for many reasons, but we're glad for one reason in particular, and it's this: because this world is filled with fear. Fear to the left, fear to the right. Be afraid of your finances. Be afraid of this crisis in this area. Be afraid of what could happen to your family and to your kids. Well, today's message takes us distinctly to the answer to that fear, and it is faith, solidly faith. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and his love for us and his work for us. Faith in him and him alone. That's what we're praying would happen in your lives today, listeners. We love you. We're so thankful that you've dialed us in here. And we are expectant and praying that fear would be replaced with this great faith. That's the name of the series. In fact, it's called No Reason to Fear. We're walking verse by verse through Psalm 27. And if you'd like to get a copy of the entire series as we walk through it, we'd love to hear from you. You can visit our website at liveinthelight, that's LIGHT.ca, or you can phone us up at 1-844-22-LIGHT. That's 1-844-225-4448. All right, let's get to our text today, Psalm 27, and here now is our teacher, Pastor Robbie Simons.
The Lord is my salvation. The Lord is my salvation. I love salvation so much because light and salvation, light is seeing the truth, and truth embraced is salvation. It brings a person from death to life. And so I get so fired up when I see people who have come to understand and know for real that the Lord is their light and their salvation. Because what happens? What happens? They change. They go from death to life. And listen, they actually have the light of their Lord within them. You know what I'm saying? The Spirit of God has saved them. They are no longer dead. They are now alive. And you look at them and you're like, man, you got light in your face. You got light in your step. Doesn't mean it's all happy, happy, joy, joy all the time. They are now on the journey, but they are absolutely transformed in Christ. This is the promise. And listen, when that light enters into a home, I love hearing these stories too. And I was an example of this when I was in my 20s. When someone gets saved and let's say that young adult walks back into the home and they are now transformed in Christ and saved and light and so the whole house changes. The parents are like, it's a whole new house. Why? Because darkness is gone and light has replaced the darkness and salvation has come. It is, hey, parents, don't you dare give up praying. Every year, dozens and dozens of kids are being saved in this place for Jesus Christ. Dozens and dozens of homes are being infiltrated by the light and the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it changes everything. Children, don't you give up praying for your parents. Siblings, don't you give up praying for your other siblings. Don't you give up praying for your friends and neighbors and families. Because when the light comes and people are to say, Lord, is my light. And the Lord is my salvation. Listen, whom shall I fear? He goes on to say this, the Lord is a stronghold of my life. What does stronghold mean? I find a lot of people don't really understand that term. Many, many ways to describe stronghold. Refuge, shelter, the one we hide in. This means the Lord is David's strength or that song we sang today, the Lord is my fortress. He is my fortress. I mean, it's such a great song of pertaining to these words. You could say this, the Lord is David's defense. So we could put it this way, the Lord then is one awesome bomb shelter in our lives. I remember being in Israel and seeing these bomb shelters that they One bomb shelter went to at a kibbutz we're at was used as a children's nursery. And that's pretty smart, I think, right? Where do you want your little ones to be? Let's have the nursery in the bomb shelter. That's a good idea. Talk about being safe. And what's a bomb shelter built to do? Defend, protect. It's a fortress against the severest of weapons and firestorms. God is our bomb shelter. God is our stronghold. Listen, make it personal. My stronghold. He is the stronghold of my life. And in light of this truth, light, salvation, stronghold, in light of this truth, the questions are now posed, whom shall I fear? Of whom shall I be afraid? Why? Because the Lord is mine. Because the Lord is mine. Oh, child of God, the darkness that tries to overcome you, the fear that tries to cripple you. Okay, here's what I know. I know Satan is attacking many people in our church. I know that. That's always been that way. It's always going to be that way. Listen, the further we get for Jesus Christ in this place, the more we try to exalt the name of Jesus Christ, the more we seek to move forward and gain ground for the Lord Jesus Christ, the more Satan is going to try to hurt us, stop us, kill us. That's just a reality. And some of you are here today, and listen, do not let Satan trick you. There's the danger of looking for a demon behind every door, but there's the other danger of pretending he doesn't exist. He wants either one. We are wise. We use discernment. We understand he is real. He's a formidable opponent. He prowls around like a lion seeking someone to devour. And child of God, if darkness is trying to overcome you, listen, the Lord is your light. And again, this light cannot be put out. This flame cannot be extinguished. This truth cannot be diminished. Listen, whether you feel it or not, the Lord lights your path. He guides, he comforts, he brings joy. Remember, don't ever forget this. Fact, faith, feeling. That's the train of life in the Christian walk. Fact, faith, feeling. Fact is the train, is the engine. Faith is the carrier passenger car, and feelings are the caboose, right? So often we get the caboose of feelings leading the train of our walk in Christ. Bad plan. What do we always say around here, right? Feelings are great followers, but lousy leaders. Okay? Get the truth. The Lord is my light. Combine faith to that. And then the right feelings come in Christ. Fact, faith, feeling. The Lord is your light. How about this? Oh, child of God, the Lord is your salvation. You may feel defeated. You are not. You may feel beaten down. Listen, you will rise up. You may feel conquered at times, but the truth is in Christ, Romans 8 says you are more than conquerors. You know what that means? You are a super conqueror. You are a super, super duper conqueror. Nothing can defeat you because you are in Christ. Why? Because Christ has saved you. The Lord is my salvation because he has saved you. What does it mean that Christ has saved me? Well, let's go through a little theology here. Christ has saved me. You're genuinely in Christ. That means that you have been chosen. Before the foundation of the world, you have been chosen by your Father. You have been elected. You have then been called. At the appropriate time, God gave you faith. You were regenerated by the power of his Holy Spirit. You were made a new person. You were born again. You were regenerated. Then you were justified. You were declared innocent in the sight of God. And now you're being sanctified to become more like Jesus Christ. And one day so soon, you will be glorified in perfection with your Savior for all of eternity. That's pretty cool. Christ has saved you. He has elected you and chosen you. He has then called you. And then he has regenerated you. And then he has saved you and converted you and then justified you. He has sanctifying you, and one day soon he is going to glorify you again in perfection for all of eternity. That's pretty good. He's done all that for you. But so often we lose trust in our God. What else can he do? What more can he prove? What are we so afraid of? You don't think he's going to finish what he has started? Yes, he is. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Oh, child of God, the Lord is your stronghold. The Lord is your stronghold. This takes us right into point number two. Why should I not fear? Here it is. Evil cannot beat me. Evil cannot beat me. Verse 2 says this, when evildoers assail me to eat up my flesh, my adversaries and foes, it is they who stumble and fall. Okay, let's just notice this to start. This is important. Was David's life all roses? Or did he encounter some difficulties along the way? Exactly. This is so important. How about this question? Did everyone just love David? Or did he happen to have a few opponents and enemies? Exactly. Are you expecting your life to be free from opposition? Are you expecting your life to be free from troubles and trials and concerns? You're not thinking according to the Bible then. Look at David's life here. In all seriousness, loved ones, the will of God guarantees opposition. The more you seek to live for Christ, the more others will seek to stop you. The more others will want to hurt you. The more others will want to wound you. Let's pick up a few observations from verse 2. It says, when evildoers, notice multiple evildoers assail me. This is multiple evil intending men seeking to attack and overcome David. And then notice this, to eat up my flesh. So this isn't just like, man, that David, he's a jerk. This is, I want to tear David limb from limb. His enemies are cannibalistic in their hatred for him. But so powerfully and wonderfully, he now mentions multiple adversaries and foes, and then he says this about them. It is they who will stumble and fall. It is they who stumble and fall. You know, just because in Christ we look at this banner and we see no reason to fear, just because in Christ we have no reason to fear doesn't mean at times we will not fear. David, at times, he feared for sure. In reality, often we do fight fear. But why do we fight fear? Why do we feel fear? Here's why we feel fear, because we forget. Because we forget. It's when we get knocked down and we become afraid. It's when we encounter the unexpected that causes us to worry. It's in the midst of trial and hurt that we become paralyzed with fright. And what happens when these things happen so often? We forget. Forget what? Forget the truth. But David here, he remembers. He remembers the truth that with his God, he cannot lose. And again, please see this. David didn't always have it good. What he did always have was his God. I was writing this message this week, and I found so many parallels between David and the Apostle Paul. And then probably the greatest man used in the New Testament is the Apostle Paul. One of the greatest men used in the Old Testament, David. What are the parallels between their lives? There are many. And this is what Paul wrote. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 8. He says, we are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not driven to despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not, what does it say? But not destroyed. Amen. So listen, it's not that Paul did not feel beat up. He just knew that he would not be beaten, as in defeated. But verse 2 tells us that someone will be defeated here. Those who oppose God will be defeated. David says, it is they who will stumble. It is they who will stumble and fall. Some commentators want to draw big parallels between Psalm 27 to the Garden of Gethsemane with Jesus Christ, leading to his crucifixion. I'm not sure how far you can go with this, but there are some cool parallels. It is they who will stumble and fall. That reminds us, Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, this is the night of his betrayal. Judas comes with soldiers. Just picture it, man, put yourself there watching this scene unfold. It is dark. They come, the soldiers come with weapons. They come to arrest Jesus. Jesus takes the initiative and Jesus says, whom do you seek? Some guy has the opportunity to say, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus says next, he says, I am he. Remember what happens? The soldiers, this is like, I remember watching this on that Gospel of John movie. And like, for some reason, like I had missed this in my life or something. He says, I am he. At the words and the breath of Jesus Christ, the soldiers all fall back and fall to the ground. Awesome. I was like, is that really in the Bible? Go read it, man. It's in the Gospel of John. It's so sweet. Because just imagine you're one of the soldiers. You're like, what are we doing today? Awesome guy, I'm Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. You know, we're going to go arrest him. All right, let's do that. And you walk up, and he's like, who do you seek? Jesus of Nazareth. He says, I am he. And you fall over on your back. I'd be like, what just happened? What is Jesus doing? I love it so much. Who's in control? Who's in control? Who willingly will allow himself to die? What is it? I don't know exactly why scripture that happened and for us, but for certain, Jesus is like, I am the Lord of the universe. I am the one who's in control. And if I say even a word, I can cause you all to fall over because I am God and you are not. Awesome. Awesome. Who will stumble and fall? That's such a picture. Jesus Christ died, he rose from the dead. Listen, and when he returns again, anyone who opposes him, it is they who will stumble and fall. Loved ones, loved ones, listen. You feel that you're being beat up at times. You feel knocked down. Listen. You must trust in the Lord for what he has, that in the end, anyone who opposes God, it is they who will stumble and fall. What do we often want to do? We often want to be righted right here, right now, today. God, fire on them, please, like the disciples, right? God, lightning bolts, strike that person down now. But you see, you fail to see how the Lord works. You fail to trust in him. God says, vengeance is mine. We're like, no, get that person now, God. He has wronged me. Get him. Justice. Listen, justice will be served. God will decide when, and God will decide how. But listen, in the end of it all, you will not be disappointed. But see, we seek to live by faith right now, not by sight. We seek to trust in the Lord in the midst of our suffering and our heartaches and our pains and our different trials of various kinds, believing that in the end, God will decide and God will bring justice perfectly, perfectly, again, as he determines. God will deal with the wicked. And this is part of living by faith. Those who oppose Christ, in the end, it is they. Listen, it is they who will stumble and fall. Takes us to point number three. Why should I not fear? Number three is this. I find confidence in the midst of the battle. Amen. I find confidence in the midst of the battle. Do you know some of the greatest soldiers and generals of all time were those men who stood in serious battles when odds were against them, and they stood confident? I did a lot of reading a couple years ago on the American Civil War, and particularly drawn to guys like General Lee and the man of God that he was. And so often it was said about him where the odds were always against the Confederate Army and they never seemed to should have won these battles. And there's General Lee, and it said about him, he would instill confidence throughout the whole Confederate Army. And they would look at him, and again, just his trust and what he was seeking to do and how, what an impact. Listen, in the midst of battle, there he was stirring with resolute confidence, which so often led them to victory. It's amazing. Listen, as you grow in Christ, if you are maturing in Christ, you must continually be growing in confidence in the midst of a battle, okay? How do you know if you're maturing? Well, this is what happens to brand new Christians, right? They get saved, a lot of joy, it's so exciting, but they go along, and it happens so often, they're walking along, wow, this is amazing, I'm gonna be Christ, and they just get nailed, and God allows it, and they're on their faces, and they're like, what was that? And they get up and they're scared and they're terrified and they're like, oh no, everything's changing. God, where are you? How did you do this to me? See, God allows it because they grow through it. But as you're maturing in Christ, what happens is the more battles you fight, the more you understand the faithfulness of your God, and the more you are ready and strengthened to understand as the onslaught comes, it's going to be okay. Why? Because God has got your back and everything else too. That is a sign of maturity. But listen, if you are immature in Christ with every trial, it's like, oh my goodness, God, you've forsaken me. No, he hasn't. Oh my goodness, a financial setback. It's over. I'm ruined. I can't do it anymore. I give up. That's immaturity. That's a lack of faith. Are you growing? Are you growing? Because if you're growing in Christ, every time something happens, it's not like the world is over. I can't do this anymore. I lose patience for people like that over and over and over again because they fail to see and believe that the God they say they serve and love. Because God says right here, I'm your light, your salvation, the stronghold of your life. What are you afraid of? What are you afraid of? The mature in Christ, listen, not saying it's not, we're gonna have fear. There were times of anxiety and worry, but you are growing, and listen, you fall in a hole, you get up faster. You fall in the hole, you get up faster because you more and more and more quickly are relying on your God, finding confidence in the midst of the battles of life. I think this is one of David's most powerful lessons for us. The reason he could fight his fear was because he knew his God. You know what verse 2 does especially? You're about to get to verse 3, but verse 2 especially looks at the past. It's past tense, so it's looking at God has been this way all my life, and he does not change. Therefore, as I go forward, the same God of faithfulness will meet me in my time of need. And that's what maturity does too. to say, God has made promises to me that affect everything I've seen. All that I've seen God do, he's delivered me from these trials and issues. He has brought me through. He has been so good and so faithful, even in my pain and suffering. And then he won't change. And therefore, I look to the future and I trust in him. That's what David's doing right here. And that's why he now has confidence in the midst of his battle. So let's now look at verse 3. Verse 3 says, though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Okay, consider this fact. There is often more fear at the sight of an opposing army than the actual battle itself. That's often true. There's often more fear, like, and this happens to us, huh? Though an army encamp against me. So it's a picture, an army encamping around on maybe a hill in the distance, and it's the sight of that army which often paralyzes us in fear. And it's even, we see what's coming, oh, we're dead. In our lives, we can give up before the battle even begins. We write God off before we even engage in the war. And we do that a lot. Again, remember David's own past? Remember he went up against this guy named Goliath? Anyone know that story? And what happened? Goliath comes out and, I defy the Israelites. And he said, makes this big challenge. And all the Israelites saw Goliath. And what it says, they shook in fear. King Saul, who was head and shoulders above all the other men, he was supposed to be the guy to lead the charge and to set forth in courage. And he also shook in fear and went, oh, we're done. We can't be. We'll never be defeated. What's that? It's so short-sighted. It's so unable to see the God that they serve. And then David, shepherd boy, comes up and he's delivering some packages to his brothers. And he hears Goliath saying something and defying his God. He's like, what was that? He says, I'll go. How dare you defy my God, he says. I love that story. By the way, it's not a kid's story. It's like for all of us. It's awesome. He says, you don't defy my God. I'm gonna smoke you, Goliath. And he does. And he does. And he cuts off his head and he stands there. David, in his past, right? David remembers. He's watching his whole nation giving up before the battle even began at the sight of an army encamped against them. And David says, now I will be confident even in the midst of a battle, his faith strengthened. Notice he says, though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. My heart shall not fear. It's so much about where our hearts are at. Again, loved ones, again, look into your life. We often won't even try because of fear. Where does that apply to your life right now? Home, job, future, past, persons? I don't know, man. We won't even try sometimes because of fear. I can't do it. I give up. God, you're not here. I don't believe you. No, I'm going to do it. I'm going to rely on my strength. No. Anyone whom God uses must walk forward in faith. They must fight fear. They must, even as they're afraid, they trust in the Lord. Let me challenge you. Where's your heart at? Where's your heart at? How often we're guilty of this. We limit God. Again, we write him off. We think it's over. We give up and we pout. I was thinking of the Israelites at the Red Sea. I was thinking of how many, the Red Sea behind them, mountains on either side, and Pharaoh's army ferociously coming at them to obliterate them. How many Israelites cursed God? Whether in their heart, how many of them were like, what is this? God, how could you? What have you done to us? How many? Red Sea, mountains, Pharaoh's army. They curse God. They say it's over. And listen, here's a powerful principle for our lives. When life seems at its worst is so often when God is preparing his best. Okay? Listen, if you can learn this lesson, how many of you have your own Red Seas, past, present, or you're about to? You're like, I'm not in any big, you will be, okay? You will be if you know Jesus Christ. And you're gonna have Red Sea behind you and mountains on the other side and a horrific army coming at you to obliterate you. And at that moment, what do you do? Do you curse God and die? Or do you have the faith to say, when life seems at its worst, God is so often preparing his best, listen, his best for my life. I have seen that time and time and time again. Faith believes that. This is Charles Spurgeon, one of the greatest preachers in the last couple hundred years, one of the greatest preachers ever. This is him speaking on depression. Depression and fear are so closely related. Fear is found in so many places. This is Spirit, he fought depression. This text has impacted my heart. I've struggled in times of darkness and depression. I still do at times. That's what every Christian in some form will go through. And God allows these things. This has been such a ministry to my heart. Let me read it for you. This is what Spurgeon says. This depression comes over me whenever the Lord is preparing a larger blessing for my ministry. The cloud is black before it breaks and overshadows before it yields its deluge of mercy. Amen. Depression has now become to me as a prophet in rough clothing. A John the Baptist heralding the near coming of my Lord's richer benison or benediction. So have far better men found it. The scouring of the vessel has fitted it for the master's use. Listen to this. Immersion in suffering has preceded the filling of the Holy Ghost. Fasting gives an appetite for the banquet. The Lord is revealed in the backside of the desert while his servant keeps the sheep and waits in solitary awe. I love how he ends here. The wilderness is the way to Canaan. The low valley leads to the towering mountain, and defeat prepares for victory. So there'll be two type of people who will be here today and leave. The first type is the one when things get tough and things get rough, you're like, God, I don't trust you. Where have you gone? How could you do this to me? And you go your own path, or you're the person that chooses to understand that God is sovereign. Listen. I love this truth. There's never one second, not one second, is God worried about you and your future. Not one. He's not like, oh my goodness, Robbie, what am I going to do with him? He's such a slow learner. And you know what I mean? Like, he's not going the direction. I can't help him. God is perfectly in control. He is surprised by nothing. He is infinitely and perfectly happy and content. Listen, over your life. He's got you. He's got your back and everything else too. Why? Because he's your light, your salvation. He's the stronghold of your life. If you know Jesus Christ and are genuinely saved in him. Therefore, I choose to believe that in my hardest times, God is preparing for the best. And if I stick with him and I persevere, then what God will do. Listen, who's that a word for today? Who is that a word for today? I believe many. This is the faith and hope that brings confidence in the midst of the battle. This is our fear-fighting reality. I love the end of verse 3. The end of verse 3 says, the war rise against me. I will be, what does it say? Confident. Yes. The war arise against me. I will be confident. And what's confidence here? Faith. Faith is what conquers fear. What's the point of these opening verses? Right there. God has got my back and everything else too. I have no reason to fear. Let's just read our text one more time. By the way, Psalm 27, great chance for memory verses. I mean, hopefully you have verse 1 memorized right now. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers assail me to eat up my flesh, he says. My adversaries and my foes, he says, it is they who stumble and fall. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war arises against me, he says, yet I will be confident.
Well, amen. Thankful for Pastor Robbie's message today. God is good, isn't he, listeners? We hope that this series and this message in particular is encouraging you as you continue on in your life following Jesus Christ. But we want you to be aware that there are other messages and other series that we pray would be an encouragement to you as well. And if you'd love to check those out, please make sure you visit us online at liveinthelight.ca. I'm Craig Turnbull, and on behalf of Robbie Simons, we invite you to join us again next time on Live in the Light.